Well, this morning we're gonna talk about something, share about something that probably for any human being, but particularly in the year 2012 in America, may be one of the most difficult things for us to do, and it's summarized in one word, and that is this: wait. Do we hate waiting or what? I mean, we hate waiting in our culture. Be Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. We just hate waiting, okay? I personally could care less about the new iPhone, but it cracks me up, the people that basically for the last month to 6 weeks seems like they've centered their life on when that thing comes out. That's hard for me to comprehend personally, but I know this. It may not be that for me, but there's something in my life that I'm just as bad about, that I'm just as anxious about, whether it be materialistic or spiritually or emotionally in some capacity. And so this morning we're going to watch a little video. We're going to discuss waiting on the Lord. Because not only do we hate waiting, man, do we not expect a sovereign God to act at the snap of our fingers? It's tough sometimes to pray and to seek God and to wonder, what in the world is He up to? Is He too busy? We're going to discuss that a little bit this morning. So, John, if you want to go ahead and cue up the video. Mickey or Stephen, if you can get the... Short and sweet, hopefully to the point. John, go ahead and put up those scriptures, please. That's the way I feel some days. I don't know if that's how you feel. But I feel like I'm in a hurry, and I'm going nowhere, and all I'm doing is waiting. I truly have the gift of picking the wrong line at any store at any given moment. Okay? If you're behind, but the gift isn't behind the slowest people in the line. I have this unique, very niche gift in that capacity, and that is this. I'm the one that could be working the way through the line, and the person in front of me, the cashier, will say, the next person is my last one. Sir, I'm closing my register after I finish with this person. I have that niche of a gift with that. So be careful if you're behind me in line sometime. But I believe that as a culture, God would love to say, be still and know that I am God. I didn't have that scripture up there, but I believe as a culture this morning, as a church in America, God wants us to know Him intimately. And it takes an intentional waiting. So let's look at Psalm 27. We'll look at these three together, and then we got some questions. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His Word I put my hope. So, kind of a silly analogy on that Psalm 130, verse 5. Have you ever had a time when you started out being hungry in your stomach, but then as time goes past, you understand that as you grow hungrier and hungrier, that it affects your whole body. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you even do things for a while, maybe. Waiting affects everything, not just one thing. In Isaiah 30:18, that was up on the video, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. John, go ahead and put the question, or two, or three, whatever. First one to think about this morning. The difference between God waited on you and you waiting on God. You see, the first one, I flipped it around for us. Think about something. You ever think about that God's waiting on you? Or I? Or us? What's the difference between God waiting on us and us waiting on Him? Do you think that God's going to eventually come through, but we may not come through? Basically, if you couldn't hear what Claude said, is that a lot of times we're seeking God just to do something for us instead of seeking an intimacy with Him, and He's longing to be intimate with us. Hey, John. And in the meantime, we may be experiencing a form of disappointment, but in the end, if we wait, we'll see that He had the best plan. But yeah. Rick? difference between God waiting on us and us waiting on God. We're praying and praying and praying and then move on to try to solve it ourselves. John, go ahead and go to the next one, please. We often expect God to not keep us waiting. Why? We what? We are impatient. So once we get it, we're like, why did it take so long? It wasn't as complicated as we made it out to be at the beginning. Don said we don't have to wait at McDonald's, so why should we have to wait on God? But you know, using that analogy, how many of us have gone to McDonald's? I've been to one McDonald's in particular, and this just shocked me. They were out of napkins one time, and they were out of ketchup. Now, two different times, but and my thought was, kind of using your example, was like, how in the world could McDonald's run out of two of, what'd you call it, their staple things? That'd be like to me if they said we're out of Big Macs. Point being is we would never, we don't expect God to ever run out of anything. And so therefore, right now. All right, we often expect God to not keep us waiting. What else? And I think in their lives, David, something that I truly believe that when we were seeking God and we're seeking His face, seeking His hand, that God is moving immediately and has been moving. It's just waiting on Him to see the fruit of those times. And there are times we see it, bam, right then. Because we've prayed for healings, we've prayed for jobs, we've prayed for all kinds, and we do see God like that. So I think sometimes that would ask, I would ask myself another question off that one then, as we look at that one, is what's the difference? We often expect God not to keep us waiting. Why? But when He hasn't kept us waiting, what's the difference between the times that we do wait and the times that we don't wait? Oh, if you hear, she says, sometimes God answers and you're so caught up in wanting the answer, you don't realize that God has actually answered what you've been praying for. He's been there moving and doing things. John, go ahead and go to the next one. If we believe God is who He says He is, then how should we view waiting on God? All the things that if I ask you today, who is God, we would give a whole list and we would say that's what we put our faith in, who God is and who He says He is and His Word. We have a whole list of that. So if we believe those things, then how should we view waiting on God? Yeah, what's our attitude during the wait? All right, if we believe God who He says He is, then how should we view waiting on Him? So while we're waiting on Him to do something, our lives, if He just did what we want Him to do, it could keep someone else from being close to Him. That He's not working in a vacuum. He's not just working in our lives. He's working in our lives. All right, if we believe God who He says He is, Yeah. We believe God is who He says He is, then how should we view waiting on Him? Another opportunity to worship Him is what I already said. And I think in that lies that kind of what some of you already said too, is that even when He does or gives or however you want to phrase it, is there's a realization he was better all along than the answer that what he gave. Even if it's a miraculous healing, even if it's a job that we've needed for months or years, that all along he was still better than that. And how that affects our joy. What else believe in him and who he says he is? So you experienced God's presence with that light that you were telling us about last week. And since then, you've just really felt His hand upon you, using you. Johnny, go to the next question, please. During the wait, what do you think God's up to? During the wait, what do you think God's up to? I think something in that little video, I know they put it up there. Noah was about 600 when he built the ark. Sarah was about 90 when she finally had Isaac. And I think sometimes we lose that fact because we read it in the Bible, but we read it in just a sentence or two, and we don't realize, wait a second, that was 600 years. Or Sarah, oh, that was 90. You know, God promises a son over here. We read a few pages, a few chapters, and boom, it happens. We read it in 2 minutes, and it took a long time. And I think that something that's so important, and last week when Dusty during 11 o'clock was telling us all about with Daniel and what had been going on past and in the present with that, again, illustration, we read it in a few pages, but that took years. And look what all God was doing. God was doing a lot when Noah was doing that. First of all, after he got the word to do to build the ark, it took a long time to build that thing. Okay? And it took a lot, years and years to build that thing. And seeing that there was something going on that I think, during the wait, what do we believe to God to be doing? Something that we may never understand on this side of heaven. And when I can actually do that, man, you talk about a calmness and a peace that can overcome. When I can settle on that to be a truth, that He is doing something that I may never know, even if it's something that's not good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If it's bad news and understand something, wait a second, that's bad news from a human standpoint. Doesn't mean God gave him bad news and God's like, wow, that's terrible. I didn't know that was going to happen. But God's still doing something. You know, for those who know Ian Hensel, young man, remember back at summer camp, we did the bracelet for the Hensel family that live in Florida. For those at summer camp, the Hensels used to be a part a long time ago of Rivers. They now live in Florida, but Doug Dorman and them keep in contact with them. Ian is, how old is Ian, Dusty? 12? 12. His cancer is back again. Okay? And we see that. Man, I've been praying for him this week. Okay, God, but what are you up to? And settle on one fact. He doesn't have to tell me. He doesn't have to tell me. He may choose to tell me. But during the wait, what I believe God to be doing? Being God. Love didn't lessen. Remember those verses we read? Put those verses up again for me, John, real quick. Look at a couple times in there. Take heart. God got up for action, and He's going to show compassion. Because He's a God of justice. He is a God of justice. And that He is a God of action, even if we don't see it. And I think, you know, Jay, that's a good word. Finite and infinite. John, don't I have one more question? So what are some consequences when we don't wait on Him? You're right. He'll keep letting us have an attempt at learning the lesson. We contribute to a lot of our own difficulties. Never learned to be content. Kind of what the verses that Stephen was, the whole person, the whole. I tell you, I think a consequence, a lot of them I think about on that list since I've had a few days to think about the question and you guys haven't, is one is I miss seeing God do miraculous things. That's one. But maybe the thing I miss the most is that when I realized that I missed being close to Him, seeing Him work, and that longing that was left. We would say that taste in our mouth, that if I had just been willing to wait for Him to rise and show compassion, how powerful that could be in my own personal life. Another one is this, is that sometimes missing out on seeing the blessing in other people's lives and how that is just a huge hole. Just a huge hole. So what are some other consequences of not waiting on Him? When Jesus was on the earth, He was surrounded by a bunch of religious people that had decided they weren't going to wait. And I think one of the consequences of not waiting is this. We will attempt to find somebody to get the job done for us, whether that be the right somebody or somebodies. But that's a caution, that we will find somebody to try to get the job done for us. What are the consequences, do you see? From the beginning of the Word all the way to the end of the Word, we see people that we're crying out, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And we see examples of how it did work out well and how it didn't work out well. But I think that something I challenge us all with is, sounds simple to say, I know, we're sitting here on Sunday morning, it's easy. But what about this afternoon when we start to think about our own lives, or tomorrow morning? Like one of the teenagers I was bringing to church said to me this morning, we were coming up King George Boulevard and we saw a police officer. He was just sitting over there waiting to pull out. And she said to me, wow, when they sit here on Monday morning, they don't have to wait very long to find someone speeding because there's always going to be somebody late for work. I think she must have ridden with somebody, the voice of experience there. Okay. She hadn't ridden with me, by the way. Is He worth waiting on? The answer is yes, Forrest, but when the heat of the moment, asking yourself, is He worth waiting on? And allowing Him to really do something in our lives. So let's pray. Father, thank You today for many, many blessings. Thank You, Lord, for never giving up on us. You know, Father, if we took the time to examine our own lives before You this morning, and we were honest, we would realize a little bit better how compassionate You've been to each one of us. You really have been slow to anger and abounding in love. Father, You really do have the big picture in mind, and part of that big picture is this. How can Your name be glorified in all the earth? You're not worried about our name. It's Your name to be glorified in all the earth. And Father, You are worth waiting on. But Father, I pray during the wait that, Father, we draw close to You and realize that the answer we're waiting on isn't as good as being in the presence of God. And we bless You today. In Jesus' name, amen.